The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies, for that. If you'll go back in Philippians again, chapter 3 and verse 2, just the first portion of the verse is where I get our title from, where it says, "Beware of dogs." I am talking about the animal dog. I remember when I was in Bible college, and we learned in Bible college about different things you should do while soul winning. One of the things they taught us is you go up to the gate. If there's a gate there, there might be a reason for the gate being there. And you shake the gate just a little bit. And then if a dog comes out, you know that that's the reason there was a gate. And so I remember in Bible college, I was working on a bus route, and I went up to the gate. I never will forget the day. I went up to the gate, and I shook the gate. No dog appeared. We're in good shape. And so I shut the gate. I got about halfway up, three-quarters up to the porch, and all of a sudden came this man-eating dog. I'm talking about just big mouth, teeth shining, and coming after me. I had not been doing the running a long jump or running high jump, if I may say, in a long time. And so, and the fence was tall, and I never will forget. It was like running the high hurdles. And so I didn't get a running start. I just took off like a madman, and I tried to be able to hurl that fence. And my front leg got over the fence, and my hinder leg got stuck on the wire of the fence and ripped my britches all the way down. And then that dog just kept barking and barking and hissing and whatnot. And I knew I was going to be that dog's lunch. Now, they tell me, this is what they tell me, and do it sometime. Let me know how it works out. But they tell me this. They tell me the worst thing you can ever do is run from a dog. Have you heard that one? All right, good. All right, and so... Here's what we understand. The Bible says, beware of dogs. I was preaching for a friend of mine up in Tennessee, and I was preaching for him, and there was some dogs that started coming over the bank, and there's a bunch of them. I mean, they were just mad at something, and it looked like me was the something. And so they were coming over the bank, and so I didn't have time to run anywhere. And so I picked up a bunch of stones, and as they got closer and they got closer, I held back until they got right up almost upon me. And I took that first stone, and I hit that dog as hard as I could right there. And you say, oh, you're supposed to love dogs. Well, not if they don't love you. And boy, I hit that thing right there, and that thing just took off. Well, I was assigned to go back in that soul winning area every day. And so I went back in there every day. The next day I showed up, did you know those dogs, when I showed up in that trailer park, not one of them came close to me. I can't figure why, but not one of them came close to me. Now, I love dogs. I had a dog by the name of Blackie. And Blackie was my hunting dog. And you want to guess what color he was? Blackie was my hunting dog. Good hunting dog. I'm telling you, a good hunting dog. And I'd take him out. We'd go hunting. We'd go out in the woods, and we'd go hunting for 3 or 4 days. And I'd take me some beans. And you say, why'd you do that? Because that's what everybody else did before me. And so I'd take some beans. I'd take some coffee and stuff like that. And we'd go hunting. We'd go squirrel hunting. We'd go rabbit hunting. We'd go all sorts of hunting. And if it moved, pretty much, it was mine. And so we'd just go hunting and have a good time as a young man. When Dad moved in with us, and we love Dad, we're glad he's in our house, and we love him. Our house is his house. He brought a little dog with him by the name of Romeo. Now, can I tell you, that fuzzy little thing, I mean, you walk inside and that fuzzy little thing, he barks to begin with if he doesn't know you, but then once he gets to know you, like is about 2.5 seconds after that, he'll come running up and he'll start twirling around and stuff like that. When I come in at night, and sometimes I get in late night from counseling, I have a seat that I sit in, and it's a recliner rocking chair, and Romeo will run and jump up in that chair and then climb up on the back side of that chair and just wait till I come over and I pet it. And once I pet it 2 or 3 times, it's satisfied and then to go someplace else. But so there is different types of dogs. Now here we understand the contents of the scripture. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking. He's speaking to the church there at Philippi. We know that the Gentiles by the Jews were called dogs. We know that historically. So the Jews would call the Gentiles dogs. Here in our scripture, Paul now calls the Jews dogs. Now, he was not calling them dogs because of the fact they wagged their tail and they walked on all four. He was calling them dogs because they were sort of like the rattlesnakes, if you would please. They were the false teachers, if you will. They were Judaizers, if you will. They were described as religious teachers, if you will. And they were teaching that which was works. And they were stressing it very, very much. And so Paul speaks up, and Paul looks at these that are opposing the gospel of Christ, and he says to those at the church at Philippi, he says, beware of dogs. Now, I would say the very same thing. If you know somebody is not preaching the Bible right, beware. Beware. You know somebody that's preaching false doctrine, beware. You know somebody that's preaching heresy, beware. Okay? And that's exactly what Paul was saying. Well, I got my curiosity up and begin to read some things about dogs. And I added a few in here as I look further into the scripture, but let's consider some dogs tonight. First off, there's barking dogs. Now, by the way, when God, I believe, put these matters in the Bible, do you think that God was shocked that the Gentiles were called dogs by the Jews? And do you think that God was shocked, if you will, that those that were the Jews that was going against the gospel of Christ, that he would inspire Paul to be able to give a warning about these that was giving false doctrine, and he called them dogs. And so we understand this, that sometimes people may remind you of dogs. We understand that. There might be some characteristics that you see in a dog that you might see in a person. We understand that. So let's notice contextually here what God talks about when it comes to dogs. And let's identify with some of those, if you would please, that might be in local churches. Statement number one, there's barking dogs. Over in Psalm 59 in verse 6, the Bible says they returned at evening and they make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. All right, these are barking dogs. You realize there's barking people in every church. I mean, there is. They bark about all sorts of things. They bark and they try to cause noise about all sorts of things. There's religious bullies, if you would please, or denominational bureaucrats, and they cause noise about all sorts of things. People bark in churches across America because of different persons that's in the church, or because of different ministries that's in the church, or maybe because of different standards that's in a church, or maybe because of different colors, like the color of the carpet or the colors of the pew that's in a church. But you find out that there's some people in the church, they just bark about everything. I mean, they just complain about everything. I mean, if the lights is low, they want them brighter. If the lights are bright, they want them lower. If the air conditioner's on, they want it warmer. If the heat is on, they want it cooler. If the choir gets up to sing, they should have did a better job, and it would be better if they were in it. Then when they get in the choir, they wish they were out of it because they can't hit the note. And so they go back and forth, but barking dogs, just barking dogs, just barking about this and barking about that and just complaining about this and complaining about that. And after a while, I don't know about you, but dogs have a tendency, if they bark all night long, they'll get on your nerves. I mean, we got a dog that every time somebody comes up to the neighborhood, I'm not talking about to their house, I'm talking about to the neighborhood. We got a dog a couple of houses down, and you can just hear him, especially at night. He'll just begin to bark and bark and bark and bark, and I wish that somebody put a muzzle in the dog, the mouth of the dog, because he's just barking all the time. Now, by the way, don't be that way as a wife. Don't be that way as a husband. Don't always be barking. Every time your husband turns around, tries to do something, you rough. And you're barking and complaining and nagging and just belly aching. Don't do that. That's not a good way to have a good marriage. Don't spend your time barking at each other all the time. All right? Statement number one, there's the barking dog. Statement number two, there's the dumb dogs. Have you ever met a dumb dog? Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, the Bible says his watchmen are blind. The Bible says they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, so they're not barking. Sleeping, lying down. It says loving to slumber. So these are dumb dogs. These are dumb dogs. They hear the truth, but they don't listen to it. They're just downright dumb dogs. You know, mom and daddy say this is the way to go, but they ignore the way to go. Just downright dumb dogs. Okay? And you're going to have, by the way, have you ever had a dumb dog? Have you ever had a dog you tried to teach it a trick? You even got on the floor and rolled yourself. And you could never teach the dog to do the trick. You tried to reward the dog, and the dog did not take the reward. All right? Now wait a minute. Did you know you're going to have people in church? People in church? Yes, you will. You'll even have young people in church that you tell them to do something and try and help them to do something, and they don't want to do it. They've got their mind made up. By the way, dumb dogs always make dumb decisions. Dumb decisions. Okay, statement number next. Are you ready? It's going to be a quick message tonight. And statement number next, there's greedy dogs. Greedy dogs. Over in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 11, the Bible says, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. So here are greedy dogs. You ever see this? You ever see you have somebody else's dog come to your house, and perhaps you've got a dog, and the visiting dog wants to eat all of the dog's food? Or you ever have a dog that visits your house with another dog, and the dog that you have protects his food? You ever have that? You ever see children do that? You have children over your house, and a child will come, and a child, that's my toy. You ever see that? You ever see adults do that? You have an adult that visits the house, and all of a sudden they sit in your chair. And all of a sudden they get the eyes. Like, what are you doing sitting in my chair? That's my chair. You ever see church members that way? You were sitting there before the church started growing. Now the church started growing a little bit, and somebody different almost every service sits in your pew. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes there are dogs that are greedy dogs. Greedy dogs. You know, they don't want to be a blessing to anyone. They just want to receive and hoard. Greedy dogs. People, have you ever seen at Christmas time or during the Thanksgiving, what do they call that? Friday midnight dash. What do they call that? Friday. What's it called? Black Friday. I wonder why they call it Black Friday. Is that because people like to operate in darkness because they're not going to get away with it in the light? They push each other down. They step on each other. They kick each other. And you ever seen people wrestle over a television set? And here's Granny over here at 92 and wrestling with a teenager that's 16. And Granny hits the teenager with her fist and then kicks the teenager. And then all of a sudden running out the door, she drops the television set. Greedy, just greedy. I know you don't do this because you're good Christian people, but did you ever see somebody greedy over a parking lot spot? Yeah, they pull in, and I mean, here's this senior saint, you know, they're 102. It's going to be a miracle of God if they can make it to the door. And there's that spot right there, just right there beside the Walmart door or beside the whatever store you shop at. And there's that spot right there. And here you are. Now, you just got your license 2.5 months ago. and you're young and you've got energy and you're just beginning your life, and then all of a sudden here's this dear old saint of God just trying to get into the store where they can buy their meal for the week, and here you are. All you want to do is go in there and buy 2 AAA batteries for the new game thing that you got, and you whip inside of that thing, and then you got the gall to stick your tongue out at her. I'm saying greedy, just downright greedy. Be careful that you're not a greedy person. By the way, at Christmas time, it should be more about the giving than the getting. It should be more about helping people and loving people and encouraging people than trying to get greed, if you will. All right? The Bible says that, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. It says they are shepherds that cannot understand. And then it says here that they all look in their own way, and everyone for his gain from his quarter. All right? So wait a minute. Now it's talking about shepherds. You know, I've met some preachers that are shepherds that are greedy. They want to get other people's church members, and they'll lie, they'll do whatever they can to try and get somebody to join their church. Now, can I tell you, we ought not to be greedy people. We ought to be people that love people and help people and encourage people and try to strengthen people. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." All right? And so there's a group of people that they just decide that they're going to seek their own. And greedy, if you will. Statement number one, there's barking dogs. Barking dogs. Now, somebody told me, don't worry about barking dogs because barking dogs do not hurt you. I don't find evidence of that. All right? But there's barking dogs. Statement number one, there's dumb dogs. There's dumb dogs. By the way, if you don't know something, you ought to find it out. We ought not to be dumb people. We ought. I'm doing a history study right now about the buildings in the Capitol area and stuff like that, and just going along and studying some of the original documents that's put out by Thomas Jefferson, Washington, and stuff like that that we have copies of to be able to study those things. Why? I don't want to be ignorant the way our nation was formed. Okay? All right. So there's barking dogs. There's dumb dogs. There's greedy dogs. Greedy dogs. Statement number next, there's fleshly dogs. Fleshly dogs. Here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." So these dogs were flesh-eating dogs. You know what I find out? I find out that there's people in church that love the flesh. Boy, they just love the flesh. They love to consume the flesh. They love to go after fleshly things. Things, if you would please, that would feed, they would feed on. Things, if you would, that would be able to cause their mind not to be spiritual, but to be fleshly. Now, we ought not to be fleshly people. We ought not to be fleshly people. Can I tell you? It's a rare thing. I had Brother Craig in my office before preaching time tonight, and it's a rare thing that you hear preachers today get up and they preach against sin. It's a rare thing. You know, we're living in a day where everybody wants to be accepted, and everybody wants to be popular, and everybody wants to be liked, and everybody wants to be praised. But can I tell you, I'd rather us stay at the 700, 800, 900 mark and never grow if it was that we were to sacrifice our young people on the altar of that which is compromise. Where they never hear that drinking is wrong, or smoking is wrong, or doping is wrong, or staying pure until the day of walking down the aisle and saying, "Yes, I do." I'd rather have a church that only has a few people in it that we could enjoy the fellowship around the throne of God and be able to see things that God is doing than to have a church that's full of wicked sinners that just don't want to obey God, that don't see that holiness of God is important. I'm saying this. I'm saying there is fleshly dogs. There is fleshly dogs. I mean, all they want is flesh. That's all they want. I just want to do what I want to do. Doesn't matter what God thinks about this. Doesn't matter how the Bible teaches about this. I'm going to do what I want to do. And before you know it, they wind up wrecked and ruined. Now, I tell you, it's a lonely thing sometimes to be a preacher. It's a lonely thing. Because, you know, preachers like to be liked too. I said preachers do like to be liked too. And it's a lonely thing to get up sometime. And I know why preachers don't do it. I know. I know why preachers don't get up and open the Bible and preach the Bible as the truth. I know why they don't do it. Why? It's not a popular thing to do. It's not something that's well received. It's not something that people say, well, I'll tell you what, he's a great preacher. Oh, no, we're living in the day where people are gathering to those that are teachers. Why? Because they have itching ears. Oh, come on now, you be real with me. You ready? I get up and I preach and I sit in your lap, spit in your eyeball. I mean, I stomp on your big toe. I mean, I'm telling you just how it is, and I'm preaching it right up your alleyway. And if you're in the flesh, you don't like that. That bothers you. Here's what you say in your heart. Well, I'd rather go to a church where the preacher's not so nosy. I'd rather go to a church where the preacher just preaches the gospel. Oh, but my dear friend, the more godlier you get, the closer you can be with our Lord. The Bible still says, be holy even as he is holy. Hello? I don't know, but I'll be honest with you. I raised my kids up under old-fashioned preaching where they heard what was right, heard what was wrong. Were they perfect kids? No, they're not even perfect adults. But it's better to try than not to try. Oh, come on now. You would not have any respect for me if I went out tomorrow night. It's Monday night. You wouldn't have any respect for me if tomorrow night, being Monday night, I went out and got drunk. I went out and did drugs. I went out and chased a loose skirt up down the neighborhood. You wouldn't have any respect for me. You wonder why the world doesn't respect Christianity anymore. I'll tell you why. It's simply because we live in a world where the Christians are no different than those that are lost. They have the same habits. They have the same type of things that's going on inside of their life. They're no different whatsoever. And if they're no different, their God must be dead, because he certainly didn't change them. I'm saying this tonight, there's barking dogs, there's dumb dogs, there's greedy dogs, and there's fleshly dogs. Over in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 24, the Bible says, him that dieth, it says, of Ahab in the city, it says, the dog shall eat. And so here you have two examples where there's flesh-eating dogs. They smell the flesh. I had a fellow that worked for me years ago when I was up in Union City Baptist Temple, Union City, Tennessee, where I pastored. He came down. He was a missionary from Alaska. If you go into my office, you'll see that there's an elk horn, and on the antler of the elk that would go into the actual head of the elk, he has carved a beautiful eagle, the face of an eagle. It rests on my office shelves in there. He was a dear brother. He came to me and he said, preacher, he said, I'd like to come and like to start a ministry under your ministry if you'd give it blessing. I said, what's the ministry? He said, I'd like to help girls that become pregnant without wedlock. And he said, I'd like to help them. And he said, we'll open up a home. We'll raise money for it. Won't cost the church a penny. He said, but I'd like to bring them in. And my wife and I have a burden for them. And I said, yes, sure, we'll do it. So we voted it in. It became a ministry of our church. Well, he went back up to Alaska, and he carved on these Atlers, and he brought me back an Atler with that beautiful eagle head carved in it, and then, of course, an inscription on it from him to me. And it sits there in my office. It just as pretty as can be, it sits there in my office. Now, can I say that every time I look at that, I remember the story he told me about how they would kill the wolves. I remember the story. He said they'd take a knife, a long knife, if you will, and what they'd do is they'd dip that knife in blood. Then they'd freeze it. Then they'd dip it in blood, and they'd freeze it again. And they'd dip it in blood, and they'd freeze it again. He said once a wolf gets the smell and the taste of blood, they always return to it. He said they'd take the handle, if you would please, of that two-edged type of a knife, and after dipping into blood several times and freezing it layer by layer, they'd take the end of that knife and they would plant it into the ice. He said the sun would come and the sun would begin to melt at least one layer of it, and that wolf would begin to smell that blood. He said that wolf would come up. He said that wolf would come up and begin to lick that blood. He began to lick it and lick it and lick it. Oh, he liked the taste of that blood. He tasted it before, and so he liked the taste of the blood. And so he'd lick it and lick it and lick it. He said after several licks, he said that knife, that double-edged sharp knife, would be cutting into that the tongue of that wolf. And he was tasting his own blood, didn't even know it. He said you could follow the path of all that blood that was coming out of that wolf's mouth. You could follow, and these are big old wolves, by the way. He said, you could follow the blood of that wolf. He said, in just a mile or two or three or four into the forest or into the plain, you'd find the body of a dead wolf. You know why? Because they tasted of the flesh before. Here's my problem. If you taste of the flesh one time, and that's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to be mean to your kids. We're not. Stand up, you, and stand up, you, shoulder to shoulder, facing me. And so when the preacher gets up, the preacher says, put your Bible down, you're not supposed to be spiritual. And when the preacher gets up and the preacher says, hey, you're not supposed to smoke, don't do that. It'll ruin your life. It'll hurt you. It'll cripple you. It will cause you to get cancer. You're going to die. Some people get mad at that. But all we're trying to do is prevent somebody from doing something stupid. When we get up and we preach and say, listen, you're not supposed to do drugs. Those drugs will destroy you and will destroy your mind for the rest of the days of your life. Amen. We're not trying to make an enemy. We're trying to salvage a person. Amen. When we say you ought to keep your purity, stay pure until the wedding, be a wonderful thing to walk down the aisle. Say, this is the first time I ever kissed a boy, ever kissed a girl. You say, preacher, that's unpopular. I don't care if it's unpopular. I'm saying this, that there has to be somebody that cries aloud and spares not. There has to be somebody that says, don't do it. Now, why? Because normally when you do stuff like that, it normally don't stop there. It's just a progression. Oh, we get up and say, use that King James Bible. Stay away from that NIV that's corrupt. Don't get mad at me. When we say, hey, let's have conservative Christian music, this is not a rock concert. This is a place where we can honor and glorify God. I'm so appalled, and I know I've got preachers that listen to the podcast, but I'm so appalled at these, what they call independent Baptist churches. And man, it looks like, I mean, you got girls on the platform, and you got guys on the platform, and you got different colored lights, and they're waving their hands, and they're playing their guitars, and looks like the old-fashioned rock concerts I used to go to before I got saved. That ought not be in church. Amen. You say, well, that means that our church will never grow. Hey, we had over 900 today. Don't tell me that God cannot bless. We stay with it. We go soul winning. We help people. We love people. We encourage people. And old-fashioned preaching still works. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there are those that are fleshly dogs. Then, thank you, be seated. There's foolish dogs. There's foolish dogs. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And you ever see somebody that goes into sin, and then they go into it again, and then again, and then again? Oh, what is that? That's folly. I told my daddy, I said, I love you. I said, Daddy, I wish you quit smoking. Daddy, that's going to kill you. And I love you so much. I'm just being honest with you. You need to quit. You're going to die. You'll never see your grandkids. Quit smoking. I beg you, please, stop it. He said, Michael, I've tried. I can't. I've tried. I can't. I tried. I can't. My older brother got on drugs, and for a while there, I told Dave, I said, I wish you wouldn't do that. One day I'll wind up burying you. Don't do that. I wish you'd never do that. I'd like to have you around as an older brother to be able to share old times. I wish you'd just stay around. Can I tell you, sometimes a person, when they taste of something and they like it, they return to it. They return to it. I'll submit to you, if you have trouble with drinking tonight, you're foolish if you keep it in your cabinet at home. You have trouble tonight with the wrong type of music or the drugs or whatever the case may be, you're wrong if you keep holding on to it. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, for whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. So whatever overcomes you, stay with it now, here it is. Whatever overcomes you owns you. I've heard people say this, you have too. Oh, preacher, I just want you to know, I'm not in bondage. I can quit it anytime I want to. And I say, okay, quit it. Well, I don't want to. What they're saying is they're in bondage. You kids that come in here on a Sunday night, you come from off of some of our bus routes, and you go home to an apartment complex where all you hear is the rock and roll music, and all you see is somebody doing drugs next to you, and you don't even know where your own mama is at night, and you've not seen your daddy in many years. Can I tell you, there's still hope for you? We have several young people in here, and I love you, and you come to our church, and you're raised in such an environment like that. But can I tell you, God loves you, and there's great hope for you. But you don't have to decide that you're going to be that one that's going to return to the folly. You don't have to be that way. These people that give me these excuses, I get sick of it. They say, well, I have to do it because that's the way my daddy was. I'm sorry, but I don't practice the sins of my daddy. Well, you know, it was my brother's fault. Don't give me that lame brain excuse. I don't practice the sins of my brother. If we would change who we love supremely, it would change the way we live. Amen. Statement number last, and I'm done. They're stray dogs. Stray dogs. You ever see a stray dog? You ever see a stray dog doesn't have a master? You ever see a stray dog that's out in the rain? You ever see a stray dog that they're looking for something to eat, they can't find it? Yeah, you young people ought to thank God tonight that you're not a stray dog. You'll thank God tonight that you've got a mom and a daddy. You say, well, they're not all that they should be, but you've got a house that has a roof. We're entering into the winter season, and can I tell you, thank God tonight if you got heat. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Who are these stray dogs? They're the ones that never got in. They're the ones that doesn't have an owner. They have no master. For those of us tonight that understand who Jesus Christ is, this would identify tonight those that are not saved. Stray dogs. I cannot begin to tell you how many times we have witnessed to people. They said, "No, I don't want that. I don't want that." Oh, we tell you the stories, don't we? We tell you the stories to try and motivate you and encourage you. Like that man I gave that track to, and he said, "I don't want it." He tore it up, threw it down. I gave him another track, and he said, "I don't want it." He tore it up and threw it down. I gave him another track. He said, "I said, I don't want it." I gave him another one. He said, "How long are you going to keep doing this?" I said, "Well, I've got a bunch of them right here. I got more in the truck. I got 20,000 in the church, and I know where you live." And I said, "I'm going to keep giving them to you until you give me a chance to tell you what's in them." And I did, and as I was covering hell out of Revelation 20, tears are coming out of his face, hitting his cheek, dripping onto the ground, and he said, "Stop right there. I know what I need to do. I need Christ." Well, we like to tell those stories, though, don't we? We do. Let me tell you the stories of the ones that you witness to that never one time want to give a good hearing to the gospel. There's a nurse I've got a burden for right down here at the Dallas Regional. Every time somebody goes to the third floor, I'm on the third floor, and I give out tracts everywhere I go, and so I'll always pop by her little center, and I'll say, "Hey, here's a tract for you." She'll say, "I don't know how many times I've told you, preacher, I'm not interested in that tract. I'm not interested in that piece of paper. Now you go ahead and take it with you." And I say, "I can't, because you need it. So I'm going to lay it right here. When you get a chance, you pick it. I'll never pick it up." "It's okay. It's going to stay there and stare at you. I'm going to lay it right there. You have a good evening now." And I'll walk off. Sometimes before I even get to the elevator, I'll look back, and out of my peripheral vision, I see her pick it up, and with anger in her face, she rips that thing up. She goes over to the trash can. One time she did it, and she said, "See?" And I went to go give her another one. I didn't have any more left. And I thought, well, maybe I'll give her a 3x5 card. She won't know the difference. But there is stray dogs. There are stray dogs. I don't know how many times I've given somebody the gospel. I remember giving a man a gospel. He is on oxygen right here. He's in his house. And I went up to him. I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm pastor of Parkside Baptist Church." And one of our people said that they'd like for me to come by and visit with you and have prayer with you. Prayer. "I don't want you to have prayer with me." I said, "Well, I understand." I said, "But I'd sure like to do it if you give me the privilege to do it." And he said, "I don't want you to have prayer. Don't you mention God in my presence. Get out of here." And I said, "Well, let me do this. One day you might need me. Here's a piece of paper." And I pulled out a gospel tract. I said, "There's a number there." I said, "And you call me if you need me. I'll come to you." He said, "I told you I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want nothing to do with God. You get out of here." What do you do with somebody like that? That's a stray dog. They're mangy. You ever see somebody have you ever seen somebody that lives under the bridge, that sleeps on the ground, has nobody loves them, has nobody caring? You ever seen somebody like that? Have you ever picked somebody up on the roadside? Have you ever carried them to the next stop? When I traveled alone, sometimes I go to meeting and I look for hitchhikers. I look for them. I pick them up. They get in my vehicle. I get that thing up to about 50, 60 miles an hour. I talk to them a little bit. I eventually get around to the gospel. You know, they brought a stench with them that was just incredible to sit beside. I mean, just smell real bad. There's a man I made a friend. He's a legislator up in Alabama. He came to hear me preach when I was in Alabama, and he's a legislator. And he said, "Hey, Brother Wells, let me tell you." He said, "Let me tell you my story." He said, "I try to be a soul winner everywhere I go." He said, "And I was heading in. We had a vote." He said, "I had to be there." And he said, "I don't know why." He said, "But God, the Holy Ghost started saying, don't take that highway. Don't take that highway. Take the other highway." He said, "It's snowing outside. The highway I was going to take is well serviced. I knew it. I knew it would be good travel." He said, "But God was directing me to take the other highway that's not as well serviced." He said, "I took that highway." He said, "Lo and behold, I see a man walking along." He said, "He had bags on." I'm talking about bags, these plastic bags. He said he had bags all over, had bag over his head. He said he had flippers on, you know, these flip-flops, thank you. He had flip-flops on. And he said you tell he's cold. He said, "I almost passed him." He said, "But I thought maybe that's why God has me going down this road. So I picked him up." He said, "Oh, man, did he stink to high heaven." He said, "And the Holy Ghost just kept saying, now, you witness to him, you witness to him, you witness to him." He said, "I couldn't get the nerve. I just couldn't get the nerve." He said, "It's been a long time since I witnessed to somebody personally." He said, I just lost my nerve. I couldn't get the nerve." He said, "We're driving," and he said, "I'm telling him I'm going to put him off at the next gas station, and I'll buy him some drinks, and I'll buy him some beef jerky, and I'll buy him some peanut butter and some bread, maybe to help him hold over." And he said, "I'll put a little bit of money in his pocket." He said, "I had a $50 bill, and I put that there for him." And he said, "Now, as soon as I get to the next gas station, we're going to stop." He said, "Every single one of those gas stations were closed." He said, "So for 40 minutes, driving along at 3 miles an hour in a snowy blizzard, I'm stuck." And he said, "The Holy Ghost just kept saying, witness to him, witness to him, witness to him, witness to him." And I kept saying back to the Holy Ghost, "No, no, no, no." Finally, we found a gas station. He said, "I thought I'd be conscience free." He said, "We went in, I bought him peanut butter like I said I would. I got him some jerky like I said I would. I got him some bread like I said I would. I gave him $50. I looked down and I saw his shoes." And he said, I wear a $300 pair of shoes." And he said, "I looked down at his shoes." And he said, I said, "What size are you?" "We're the same size." I gave him my shoes and I traded for flip-flops. He said, "I gave him my socks." He thought, "Okay, I'm going to leave now to be okay." He said, "I started to pull out on the highway, and the Holy Ghost said, you better go back. That's not what I wanted you to do. You go back." He said, "I turned around and I went back." He was still there. He said, "Through tears, I got him to come to my truck." And he said, "I was so scared. I haven't witnessed to somebody in a long time. I didn't know what I was doing. I was scared." He said, "But I thought nobody else is going to do it. I might as well give it my best shot." He said, so he got in the truck and he said, "Sir," he said, "I'm a Christian and I'm ashamed. I should have told you about Christ. I'm ashamed." He said, "I started to cry and said, would you please forgive me? Your soul is more important than anything in all the world." And he said, "I started to witness to him, told him how to be saved." And the man said, "I've always wanted to be saved. I just didn't know how." He said, "I gave him the gospel and he bowed his heart. He asked Christ to be his Savior." He said, "The reason God put me down that highway was because of that one person." He said, "I tell that story everywhere I go." He said, "Because, you know, that's the most important thing in all the world." He said, "That day I walked into my legislative body in flip-flops with no shoes and a suit. And he said, I was proud of those flip-flops because it told a story. And he said, I told it to the legislative body, the story of me leading that man to Christ. Can I tell you, we like stories like that. But they're still stray dogs. They're still stray dogs. I'll tell you, I come in on a Sunday morning, and I'm glad you're here. I am glad you're here. But I come in on a Sunday morning, and I see an empty chair. And I see another empty chair. And I see a little vacant spot there in a pew. And I think, oh my, how many people could be saved? Get under the preaching that's straight from the Word of God. Be able to grow as a Christian and reach out to their family. Oh, I think you ought to be involved in reaching stray dogs too. Now, Father, tonight I pray that you'd help us, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.